Chapter 15, The Late Show. Later that day, David Letterman sat behind his desk on the set of The Late Show. He just finished his top 10 list for the evening. The top 10 things to stuff a turkey with, and the audience roared with laughter. "Ladies and gentlemen," he interrupted, "we've got a blockbuster show for you tonight. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Vin Diesel, and Bruce Willis are on the show to tell us about their newest action-packed thriller. Can you believe it? All three of them in the same film." He paused while the audience hooted and hollered. "Do you know what it's like? Do you like the loud music, kids? Well, you better stick some cotton in your ears, because Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit, the bad boy fusionist of hip-hop rock, will be out later to trash this joint." He paused again while the audience hooted and hollered some more. "But Schwarzenegger, Diesel, Willis, and Limp Bizkit will have to wait, because I got a hot one for you tonight. It's time to bring out my first guest. You've all seen him on TV and in the papers for the last 2 weeks. Nobody can stop talking about the kid in the bear suit. He stormed the NFL, and he stormed the United States. And he stormed New York, too. Let's give a nice round of applause to my replacement when I retire, to America's newest hero, Mr. Anthony T.B. Madison." He paused, stood up, and looked right at the stage as the audience applauded. But America's newest hero was nowhere to be seen. Tony was not there to make his grand entrance. The applause died out as the Ed Sullivan Theater grew quiet. David Letterman turned to the producer. "Where is he?" The producer shrugged his shoulders. David Letterman turned to the audience and shrugged his shoulders, mimicking the producer. "My hotshot producer, who is obviously making way too much money, has no idea where the kid in the bear suit is. It seems that for the first time in the history of The Late Show, we've lost a guest. This ought to send the ratings into the toilet for us. This black and white silver hair chump over here at NBC is really going to get some mileage out of this." He looked at the producer again. "You really don't know where he is." The producer moved his head back and forth, and he shrugged his shoulders again. David Letterman stepped out in front of his desk and looked at the Late Show Orchestra director, Paul Schaefer. "Paul, do you know where the kid is?"
"Got me, Dave," Mr. Schaefer said as he ran his hand over his bald head. "I'm in charge of music, not the guest. We've been working together for over 20 years, and that's all you can come up with? Pretty lame, eh?"
Mr. Letterman said as he rubbed his chin. "Perhaps you'd rather be in charge of the border crossing between North Dakota and Sushwatchika instead of the music at the Late Show."
"Great idea, David," Mr. Schaefer said. "Maybe I get to wear one of those cool riding uniforms to work every day."
Mr. Letterman rolled his eyes, lowered his chin, and looked over the top of his glasses. "I wonder if Madonna had something to do with this." The doors to the Ed Sullivan Theater burst open, and 6 Harley-Davidson motorcycles, each with a driver and passenger, roared through, 2 down the center aisle, 2 down the left aisle, and 2 down the right aisle. They stopped at the foot of the stage. The motorcyclists revved the engines, and then, of course, as if on cue, cut them off at the same time.
"Ladies and gentlemen," Mr. Letterman said as he looked at the spectacle before him, "this is the worst than in the invasion of the body snatchers. It's the invasion of the bikers from Hades."
He paused and surveyed the bikers, "and I suspect that America's newest hero is the devil behind this invasion." Tony unwrapped his arms from Mr. Davidson's belly, slid off his motorcycle, and hopped on stage. He confidently walked up to Mr. Letterman and held out his hand.
"Hi, Mr. Letterman. I'm Anthony."
"That's Dave to you, and I'm pleased to meet you, too. Anthony and, said Mr. Letterman as he shook his hands with Tony and eyeballed the bikers.
"Where you've been? At a Hell's Angels cookie bake-off or something?"
"Please call me TB, Dave, and I'm sorry for being late, but, as you know, things sort of happened to me."
"Another understatement, TB."
"Is that something like underwear?" asked Tony.
"I don't have a clue, kid. I figure that if I use big words, I'll impress my boss, and I'll be able to hold on to my job for a while. But that could be a pipe dream when you consider tonight's fiasco, so I better fill out a job application at Rupert's Deli before I go home tonight,"
Mr. Letterman said as he walked to the foot of the stage.
"So, who are all these clowns?"
Tony hopped off the stage and gestured for Mo and Anna to join him.
"This is Anna and Mo," Tony said, as Anna and Mo joined him.
"They are my best friends." Mr. Letterman stepped down from the center aisle and held out his hands.
"Glad to meet you, Anna and Mo. You're pretty brave to be TB's best friends, huh?"
"That's an understatement, Mr. Letterman." Mo said as she shook Letterman's hand. I'm happy to meet you too, Mr. Letterman, Anna said as she pumped Mr. Letterman's hand. And as far as I'm concerned, it's totally understandable why I'm brave enough to be Tony's best friend. Look at him. He's more than handsome than Bruce Willis, isn't he? Sorry, Anna, but I plead the Fifth Amendment. Mr. Willis is on the show tonight, and he's tougher than me, so I better keep my trap shut, or I might be visiting an Undertaker tomorrow, instead of watching the Weather Channel. Your weekends are pretty exciting, huh, Dave? Asked Tony. Another understatement, TB, said Mr. Letterman. After I watch the Weather Channel, I usually organize my socks. Like those cool white ones you're wearing right now? Tony teased. Exactly, said Mr. Letterman, pulling his pant leg so the cameraman could zoom in for a close shot. So who are the rest of these characters? The big guy is Mr. Harley Davidson. And the other bikers are the members of his band, the Angels, said Tony. Mr. Letterman and Harley shook hands. Even geeks in white socks know something good when they hear it, and I have to say, the Angels really rock, said Mr. Letterman. Harley, I love to have the Angels play on my show sometime in the near future. What do you say? It'd be a darn pleasure, drawled Harley. Tony motioned for two other passengers to join him, a dark-skinned man decked out in a vivid white turban and a dark-skinned girl with long, silky black hair joined Tony. Tony put his arm out around the man. This is Mr. Raj, New York City's best taxi driver and soon-to-be best child psychologist. He helped us today. Raj held out his hand. So you are the Letterman. Now I know where to find you. Raj scanned the theater. Raj on TV now. Maybe my family will see me in Mumbai. Yes, Mr. Raj, you're on TV, but I have no idea if the late show is in Mumbai, said Mr. Letterman as he shook Raj's hand, paused, and then looked at the girl. This is Divya. She's a friend of Raj's, and she's a new friend of mine, ours. Mr. Mahoman winked at Mo and placed his hand on Divya's shoulders. It's a pleasure to have such a pretty young lady on the show. Divya blushed and said, It's good to be here. Tony pointed at the final passenger and smiled. I think you know who she is. An attractive woman with blonde hair slid off the last motorcycle and made her way to Letterman. Ladies and gentlemen, before me stands the only reason to watch NTV, Miss Lucas Tavankic, said Letterman as he kissed her on the cheek and took her hand in his. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, Luca, even under these unfortunate circumstances. How about coming back when things are a bit calmer around here, as we discussed earlier? I watch you every chance I get, so I'd love to, Dave, Luca said, smiling at Letterman, as long as you promise to wear black socks when I'm on the show. I promise, said Dave. Said Mr. Letterman as a goofy grin spread across his face. And I think that maybe I'll ditch the Weather Channel tomorrow and tune into MTV instead. Good plan, interrupted Tony. And after you watch MTV, why don't you tune into the Fashion Channel and check out the season's designer socks? Laughter ripped through the audience. Mr. Letterman shook his head and smiled. You're pretty funny, TV. Maybe you'll have your own show someday. There's no doubt about it, Dave, because I'm going to take over when you retire. With the way this episode's going, you might have yourself a job on Monday, TB, said Mr. Letterman, looking at his watch. But this is my show for the next 40 minutes, and it's time to move along. If you say so, Dave. Mr. Letterman looked at the producer. I say so, and Mr. Paid Too Much says it's time for a commercial. All you late show lugs sitting around the stage with what seems to be nothing to do, listen up. When we come back, I want the cycles out of here and the surprise guest to be seated, and I want America's new hero seated next to my desk. A couple of minutes later, the motorcycles were gone. Anna, Mo, Raj, Divya, Luca, Mr. Davidson, and the bikers were seated in the audience. Tony sat in one of the two plush chairs next to Mr. Letterman's desk, and Mr. Letterman sat behind his desk. Finally, I can say, welcome to the Late Show, TV, said Mr. Letterman as he looked at his note cards. He tossed the cards over his back, and they fluttered into the model of Manhattan, situated behind his desk. I guess I don't need these anymore. It seems that a certain kid from Kansas City made them irrelevant. What? Asked Tony. It doesn't matter. TB, let's just say the show isn't going as planned. So tell me, Dave, where's Mr. G? Interrupted Tony.
I think he's backstage in the green room, hanging with Schwarzenegger, Diesel, and Wilson Durst, and the rest of the slightly insane Limp Bizkit guys. Do you want to see him? Yeah, believe it or not, I miss him. I'm not sure if his feelings are reciprocal with him. Reciprocal? You can stop using big words, Dave, Tony said as a mischievous smile spread across his face. You don't have to impress your boss anymore. I'm taking over for you on Monday, remember? Mr. Letterman smiled and rolled his eyes. The Late Show with Tony Baloney. It has possibilities, huh, Paul? Sounds good to me, Dave, said Mr. Schaefer. Maybe I won't have to take that job at the border now. TB, will you keep me on your payroll? Sure thing, Mr. Schaefer, said Tony. As long as you don't wear white geek socks to work. I wouldn't be caught dead in the... Ladies and gentlemen, interrupted Mr. Letterman. I'd like to introduce you to the guy that had the guts to actually bring my replacement to New York City. Let's give a big round of applause to Mr. Tom Gore. A loud applause ripped through the audience as Mr. Gore walked onto the stage. Mr. Letterman met Mr. Gore behind the second guest chair, whispered something in his ear, and shook his hand. Both men chuckled and then took their seats. Tony got up and gave Mr. G a hug. Hey, Mr. G, good to see you. Mr. G gave Tony a half hug and lightly pushed him away. TB, I'm happy to see you too, and I'm most happy to see that the three of you weren't arrested by cops or kidnapped by Madonna or abducted by Limp Bizkit. But let's go easy on the sentimental stuff, okay? We are on national TV, remember? I hate to tarnish my tough guy image. Sure, Mr. G, I understand, said Tony as he sat down. What was that whisper about? A quick discussion about the weather, or not, we should chain you to your chair for the rest of the show. A proactive move that would prevent a disaster. Yeah, added Mr. Letterman. As I mentioned once before, TB, trouble sort of follows you around, and I'm already in trouble with my boss, so I don't need any more, okay? Sure, Dame, said Tony as he shrugged his shoulders and smiled. I'm just an innocent kid from Kansas City. What else could happen? I don't even want to consider what other disasters lurk around the corner due to the influence of an innocent kid from Kansas City, said Mr. Letterman. But what I'd like to know is why. Why did you send me those letters pleading to be invited on my show? Why did you send me those hilarious top 10 lists? Why did you drive your parents, teacher, and principal crazy in your quest to get me to recognize you? Why were you a major nuisance in New York City today? And why did you bring me some of Hell's Angels to my show? Because you're the best thing that's ever happened to TV, Dave, Tony said sincerely. And I want to meet you. I had to be on your show no matter what. Well, you made it, said Mr. Letterman, as he removed his glasses and pretended to wipe tears from his cheeks with the back of his hand. Then he got up, stepped around his desk, and tousled Tony's hair. You've really touched my heart, kid. Now I know that I have at least one fan in the world. Maybe you have two fans, Dave, said Tony. Don't forget about a certain someone that works over at MTV. Oh, yeah, said Mr. Letterman as he sat back down. He paused a second, and a goofy smile spread across his face again. How could I forget the only reason to watch MTV? Maybe your socks affect the memory or something. Laughter bounced around the theater. Could be, TB. You never know. But one thing I do know is that I've got three very famous guys waiting for me backstage. And if I don't get them on the show tonight, I won't be able to fill out a job application at Rupert's Deli, if you know what I mean. So, before I let you go, do you have any last-minute surprises for me? Well, Dave, actually I do, said Tony. Check it out. A curtain rose on the side of the stage, revealing Fred Durst standing beside what looked to be like a dentist chair. He held up a small machine and smiled. I'm not letting him work on my teeth. You know he's slightly insane, said Mr. Letterman. I'm not going to work on your teeth, said Fred, as he placed his baseball cap backward on his head, pushed up a sleeve on his t-shirt, and flexed his multi-tattooed arm. I was a world-class tattoo artist before I became a famous headbanger, Dave, and now I'm going to give you a tattoo, Limp Bizkit style. No way, said Letterman. Yes way, said Tony. You and I are going to get the first tattoos ever getting on the Late Show. We'll each get a tattoo that says TLS. No way. Your parents would kill you and me. Anyways, you're just a kid, so you need their permission. Tony took a piece of paper out of his pocket and unfolded it. Yes way. Here's a copy of a PDF my parents just emailed. It says I can get a tattoo. Both of them signed it. Tony handed the paper to Mr. Letterman. Mr. Letterman read it and handed it to Mr. Gore. Then Mr. Letterman lamely said, "It's a fake, right?" Mr. Gore read the paper and smiled at Tony. He stood up, pulled Tony into a standing position, and said, "You're something else, TB. I've always wanted to get a tattoo, so let's get one, Limp Bizkit style." He paused, looked at Mr. Letterman. "You coming, Dave?" Mr. Letterman reluctantly joined Mr. Gore and Tony. "I should have my head examined." "That's what Mo says," said Tony. Tony said it as he looked at Fred Durst. "What are we standing here for? Fred's waiting for us. It's time to rock and roll." Fred laughed, slightly insanely, of course, and as he held up the tattoo needle. Then another set of curtains rose behind Fred Durst, revealing the rest of Limp Bizkit, complete with instruments and electric equipment. They immediately launched into a song, and Fred Durst danced like a semi-crazed lunatic as he waved a tattoo needle above his head. And Mr. Gore, Tony, and Letterman walked into Lake Show history.